friends, it is time to take a stand. That means you, that means me, standing up for what is right, regardless of cost or consequences. Are you with me?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I am absolutely serious about being a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I am absolutely serious about being a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I am absolutely serious by God's grace and help to stand strong and to stand tall and to raise my voice like a trumpet and to speak the truth regardless of cost or consequence. I want to encourage you to take your stand, be it as a parent, be it as an educator, be it as a student, be it as a pastor, as a leader, wherever God has put you. I want to encourage you to take your stand for what is right. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us this day on The Line of Fire, and hopefully all this week you'll be with me. That's the theme for this week. We'll hit on different things every day. You'll be enlightened, you'll be encouraged, you'll be challenged, you'll be equipped. Every day, the theme this week, it's time to take a stand. I've got some inspiring clips I want to play for you, many quotes I want to share with you. And as always, we'll take your calls. You can join in the conversation at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you'd like to weigh in with a comment, or if you have a testimony you'd like to share, if the broadcast has ministered to you, if you've been strengthened, if you've gained courage, if you've been equipped, if you've been deepened in God, this is a great week to share your testimony that will encourage many. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me also give you a number. We have two special resources that we want to send out to every one of you listening this week. And everyone can get it because it's for whatever you can afford. We will send them out to you for your gift of any size. And all of this week, we are again privileged to have someone matching your donations, your gifts that come into the Line of Fire broadcast. Every $50 becomes $75. Every $100 becomes $150. Every $10 becomes $15. So your gifts are being multiplied to help us reach more and more people through this radio broadcast. Here are the two resources we want to get into your hands. One is the Jesus Manifesto. I wrote this at the turn of the millennium. You will find it absolutely relevant. The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. It is appropriately a little red book, and it's a mini book. You will read it. You'll be impacted by it. It will speak to your own heart, and you will say, yes, I want to be a revolutionary for the Lord. Not a worldly type, not the one that fights with anger and hatred and bombs and the occupy this movement, occupy that movement, coming in violent and angry. No, we fight with different weapons, spiritual weapons. We overcome evil with good. We overcome hatred with love. We overcome the forces of darkness with light and truth and God's goodness by the Spirit, by prayer, by laying down our lives, not by taking other lives. The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution, and the message that I spoke at Nyack College, almost 2 months ago now, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. It's on a CD. You can listen to it in any CD player or on your computer. The manifesto and the CD, your gift of any size, be as generous as you can to help us with this radio outreach, with this Line of Fire broadcast that by God's grace is touching people across the nation and around the world. Oh, and stirring up all kinds of opposition. I'll share more of that with you. So throughout the broadcast, call this number so we can send you these resources and you can stand with us. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Some audio clips. We come back. We'll get your interest. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is time to take a stand. Our theme for this week on the Line of Fire. Again, I want to equip you. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to stand for what is right, to do what is right in love, but with a holy militancy that will not bow down to the spirit of this age, that will not bow down to the compromise that's in so much of the church, that will not bow down to what is politically expedient or correct, that will not bow down to this world. Instead, we bow down to God. We bow down to His will. And we say, Lord, we're going to do Your will regardless of cost or consequence, regardless of who likes us or not. If people hate my guts because I'm a jerk, because I'm insensitive, because I'm cruel, that brings reproach to the name of Jesus. That's grievous. That's ugly. And I need to repent and get right with God. If people hate my guts because I'm standing for what's right, that's a cause of joy and rejoicing and privilege and honor. I've got some quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King I want to play for you a little later this half hour. And some other things I'll share with you to further inspire you in your stand for what is right. But I want to bring this down to practical day-to-day experience here and just talk about an interesting little thing that happened to me last week. I get to do lots of radio interviews along with my radio show because of what's happening in the news with the president saying he supports same-sex marriage, with now the NAACP saying that they support same-sex marriage, with lots of things happening in society, I get opportunities to be on lots of other shows, secular talk shows, other things like this, doing interviews about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, or coming on the radio because I wrote that book. So I got an email last week. It was kind of on short notice, but that's often how it is with radio interviews. Could I do one? It's actually radio and TV by Skype. So it's not going to be the highest quality TV, but that's how they're happy to do it. So by Skype connection, can I do an interview with a fellow named David Pakman? I had no idea who he was, but that's common with interviews. The only problem was it was going to cut into the time when I'm normally doing the sound checks for this radio, this radio broadcast and recording the lead-ins for each show and things like that. But I contacted the guys in the studio and said, all right, I'll be starting about 5 to 7 minutes late, and I just got to do this other interview first. So I came into the office, got things set up with Skype, met David Pakman just on the air together, and we're going to do the interview. He's a young guy, I don't know, 30-ish maybe. And the interview began, and I just assumed he was another conservative host like I've been on with many, but I actually enjoy being on with hosts that differ with me. I find it very enjoyable being able to take calls in that regard. So this is now being posted. I've been getting links sent to me on various gay websites, and then I posted a link to the YouTube after I found out that it was up. I posted a link to YouTube and told folks to go watch the interview. Here are some of the comments about this interview. Are you ready? here we go. Radio host, this is on different gay websites. Radio host David Pakman interviewed anti-gay activist Michael Brown on the president's evolution of marriage equality. Pakman reports Brown got increasingly upset and cut the call short when Pakman demanded proof of his anti-gay claims. Wow. And someone commented, just right before the show, glanced at a few of the YouTube comments to see what's. All right, how about this one? Wow, Dr. Brown got violated, humiliated, dehumanized, and emotionally spanked in this interview. He got owned big time. Wow. How about this? If Dr. Michael Brown cannot answer the simplest of interview questions, he's clearly talking out of his own blank and making a profit on the current day dilemmas. It's disgusting. I wish him a good life, but I hope it ends soon. Well, that's a sweet one. Hope you die soon, the guy says. That's a sweet one. And, someone else writes in another gay website, for those of you not familiar with Michael Brown, we've covered him before. He's one of the most vile homophobes in America. He spreads his toxic bigotry on his daily radio show, Line of Fire, and through his catalog of more than 20 books, including his latest, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which Brown self-published in 2011 because no publishing house thought it was fit to print. Oh, minor correction. because publishers said they weren't willing to take the flack that came with publishing the book, even though it was an important book. But why? Why quibble over details? So here's the attack on the, as usual, David Pakman's done his homework, calmly citing, among other things, the important work of prominent Yale historian John Boswell, who wrote prolifically about the intersection of LGBT issues and religion. Brown's only response is to dismiss Boswell completely because, after all, as Brown says, he practically died of AIDS. Actually, the word was tragically, but maybe slightly hard to hear. And it only goes downhill from there when Pakman challenges Brown's tired and totally discredited talking point about the immutability of the historical definition of marriage. Brown resorts to condescension. And now check this out. I've long been appalled by Michael Brown's putrid bigotry. This fellow named John Becker. I don't believe I've ever met John. I've long been appalled by Michael Brown's putrid bigotry, but after watching his disgustingly smarmy performance on today's episode of the David Pakman Show, I'm also aghast at such a blatant, cowardly display of ageism. Ageism. Wow. I highly doubt Brown would have behaved nearly as dismissively to a journalist closer to his own age, but apparently, when it's a young person handing his you-know-what to him, Michael Brown has no problem resorting to ageist ad hominem attacks. So, all right, are you ready to hear me humiliated and spanked and owned and losing my temper and so on? Let's play clip number three.
There's a lot of research, particularly from the late chairman of Yale University's history department, John Boswell, which shows that there were homosexual marriage ceremonies in ancient Christian churches that were completely indistinguishable from those heterosexual marriage ceremonies. And this goes back to the Office of Same-Sex Union in the 10th and 11th century. This goes to the Order of Uniting Two Men in the 11th and 12th century. If we look at Sergius and Bacchus's relationship, which was a marriage that was basically okay. And I'm not a religious guy, but if that's the argument to be made, there's plenty of examples of gay marriage in the Bible.
All right. So aside from the fact that John Boswell was talking about same-sex unions in church history, not the Bible. So David Pakman, just assume that's a slip of the tongue. He spoke of gay marriage in the Bible. But Boswell's work, in fact, has been thoroughly discredited by church historians. In fact, I sent a bunch of links to that effect to David Pakman. He seemed like a guy that wants to study and learn, so I sent that to him. So this is how I replied.
Okay, number one, this is not the Bible. I am a biblical scholar, and it's not the Bible. Every single statement about marriage in the Bible is only male, female. It would be as foreign to talk about two men or two women wedding in the Bible as it would be to talk about marrying an alien or marrying a goat. It's completely foreign.
As for
John Boswell's work, John Boswell, the gay activist scholar, tragically died of AIDS. And Boswell's stuff has been completely refuted by church scholars. Just study it out. The reason that he discovered this stuff is because he completely misread the text.
All right, so in point of fact, one after another, in terms of prominent church historians, people intimately familiar with the text in the original language, said that John Boswell completely misread, misunderstood the text. Now, it is important to know, when someone is arguing that there have been same-sex unions throughout church history, that the church has been blessing same-sex unions through history, it's important to point out that the scholar who was arguing for that, John Boswell, himself was gay and, as I said, tragically died of AIDS. I could see why they thought it said practically, but the word was tragically. It's just important to know that this person who's discovering stuff that people have seen for years and never took it to mean a certain thing, now it's been discovered. So major church historian scholars have completely rebutted it, said he misread the text, he misunderstood what the text were talking about. He was gratuitous in his translation. So we move on. And when we come back, I want you to play the I want you to hear the major part of the discussion. And it finally got to the point, you know, I thought, okay, I'm delaying my sound check for radio and my normal time that I'm on with the guys, and then they need time to have the clips before the show starts and so on. And this is a completely bogus interview. I thought it was serious interaction. And when it degenerates to a certain point of not being serious in the least, hey, I just said, you know what? You have a great day, but we're done here. So this is the big victory over this insidious homophobe, Michael Brown. And one guy wrote that I'm a self-proclaimed marriage expert. I don't remember ever proclaiming myself that or claiming to be a marriage expert, by the way. But the idea that this was ageism, that I took it out on this young guy. You know, I spend a tremendous amount of time pouring into teaching young people. In our ministry school for many, many years, we have many, many college-age kids in the school. So I love spending time with young people and pouring in the gospel and truth and seeking to be an example. So the idea that because he was a young guy, and by the way, I couldn't see him. All I could do is hear his voice. I couldn't see who I was talking to. It was ageism. Man, that's bad. I mean, not only am I this vicious homophobe, but I'm an ageist. Is there such a word? An ageist. Oh, God, help us. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I love this report. This is from a gay atheist website. Previously, this is what they reported on me. Michael Brown claims gay activists want Christians thrown into prison. Actually, I quoted an attorney friend who said that's what's coming. Michael Brown claims that Hillary Clinton is controlled by satanic homosexuals. All right. I'd love to see those quotes. Michael Brown claims that the Bible is 100% true except for the parts he doesn't like. Oh, yeah, of course. We just throw out the parts we don't like, and the parts we do like that serve us best, we keep. What do you expect from someone who doesn't know the Lord? All right. Michael Brown leads a hate march of hundreds of Christians to disrupt Charlotte's gay pride parade. Yeah, hate march where we come in with T-shirts saying God has a better way and mingle with people and hand out bottles of free water. Michael Brown debuts his book with a video using small children to ridicule gay families. No, that's an ad that someone else put together that I saw after it was out. Anyway, so that's 4 points out of four, or five out of five wrong. Not bad for a report. So back to this interview, then I want to go to your calls. This is where now I become, quote, increasingly upset, where I get violated, humiliated, dehumanized, and emotionally spanked. This is disgusting. This is where I can't answer the simplest of interview questions, and people are hoping I die young. By God's grace, I'm just getting started doing the will of God and running this race. All right, clip number five.
So let's focus on today for a second. Let's focus on today. Where is marriage defined as a man and a woman?
It has always been throughout American history from the foundation of our nation. It was always understood. The only reason
it was understood
that the state
or it was defined somewhere. You understood. So tell me, where is it defined?
It has been defined in every legal document having to do with marriage. David, I guess I didn't know what show I was getting on. No insult, but I thought this was a serious issue, a serious discussion about this issue.
It is.
Not where someone's going to deny you research every single marriage document in American history that has been recognized by the government until the last few years where some states changed things. There was one definition and one definition only. It was the union of a man and a woman. It's the only definition you'll find in every single dictionary that's ever been written and every single legal document recognized by the government.
Where can one look up that definition? Just tell me where to look it up. That's all I need. Legally.
Oh, okay, tell you what. Start with every dictionary that has been written in
That's
American history.
That's not a legal document. A dictionary. Do you know what? If you looked up the N-word. Hold on a second. If you looked up the N-word for a black person 100 years ago in a dictionary, what does a dictionary tell us?
David, okay, tell you what. I am going to have to get going soon because I actually thought this was a serious interview. Not a joke thing, not something that's just trying to set people up for quotes. So here's the deal. You go to any courthouse in America and just ask them for any marriage document they have from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, okay? Very, very simple. I don't have to tell you where to find marriage documents. You perfectly know how to do that. And if you were interested in actual information, I'd be sharing it with you.
I'm interested in information. I'm bothered that you don't think I am.
And you genuinely don't know that the only legal definition of marriage that we have ever had since the founding of America has been the union of a man and a woman?
The thing is, it's not whether I know or don't know. I just ask questions, and I'm asking you, so tell me, what is the document that defines that? Because you're saying, well, go to a court and ask them for documents that refer to marriage, but long enough ago where it wasn't already legal, like it is, for example, in Massachusetts. What use is that, Dr. Brown?
Let's do this. I'll send you a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Yeah. You can get the larger overview of gay activism and its effects on history and its agenda and its goals. After you've gone through that with 1,500 plus endnotes and massive research in there, then we can follow up with other questions you have. Is that fair?
Dr. Brown, you don't set the guidelines for what's required reading to conduct an interview. I didn't send you a list of things you should read before talking to me. What kind of a thing is that to say? Let me review your 1,500 endnotes. This is bizarre, isn't it?
No, it's not. I'm telling you, if you're looking for information, I'm happy to give it to you. But tell you what, I wish you a great day. I hope you do well, and blessings on your work. Thank you, sir.
Well, I have many more questions for you. It just doesn't sound like you're ready or able to answer those. We're focusing on documents.
I am perfectly able. I do hundreds of interviews, but not mockery interviews. So, David, you have a good day, but I just want to encourage you to be a serious host next time around and not to ask questions that are so readily available to everyone and that no one even argues with. It's one thing to dispute Bosworth's work.
But if it's so readily available, why couldn't you tell me the document where I can find that definition of marriage if it's so readily available?
I told you, David, tell you what, I've got better things to do right now. And
if you want to continue to attack and say this is not a serious interview, it's a mockery, feel free to make the ad hominems. Feel free to hang up, sir. You're free to do that.
All right. God bless you, man. I wish you well.
So that was the interview with this fellow David Pakman last week. This is where I got increasingly upset. Could you hear the anger rising and the fury at the end when I was wishing him a nice day and wishing him well? And that's when I got violated, humiliated, dehumanized, and emotionally spanked. And it's, again, just reading these different gay websites chiming in. One gay activist added a comment. Mike Brown is an extremist and a fraud who cut his teeth at the crock of blank known as the Pensacola outpouring. This was a contrived so-called revival where a few manipulative sleazeball charlatans ripped off and conned believers. So, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. The thing that was so remarkable, it's like, well, hang on. Are you honestly telling me that when gay activists in the last 20, 30 years have been trying to redefine marriage and say we want to change it from what it is, to change it to genderless, male-male, female-female, or male-female, that when they're trying to change it, that they don't understand what the legal definition is, and that this interviewer didn't understand it and doesn't understand that any document that ever defined marriage in American history that was legally recognized until a few years ago in a few states defined it one way, then any marriage certificate you ever filled out would say name of bride, name of groom, not name of bride and bride or groom and groom or variations thereof. So, I mean, when questions like that are being asked, someone sent me a list like 30 or 40 or 50. Just look here, document. Yeah, well, of course you're going to have abundance. Anywhere marriage is ever defined, in American history would be a certain way. Anyway, the thing that was remarkable is the trial. Oh, wow, what a great triumph when we humiliate him. Hey, guys, you ever want to have a serious public debate about these things, by all means, let's set it up. I'd love to do that and put the facts on the table in a mutually respectful way. Okay, going to come back with your calls. Thanks for being patient. But I want to appeal to every one of you listening. We are in a unique season. Once again, we did this a few months back, and we have someone standing with us where every gift sent in to us now is being multiplied by a donor. And it's such a critical time for us. We are right on the cusp of moving forward in so many ways in what we're doing, but we really need your help. Together we make a difference. This is listener-sponsored. So your gift of any size, if all of you could call that are listening and stand with us, I want to send you my Jesus Manifesto, a mini book that'll rock your world, and a CD, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. I preached at a college in New York 2 months ago. Call right now to stand with us. Would you do that? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Again, if you are listening, happen to be one of the folks that was writing your articles about me last week, or happen to be a gay activist or a straight ally, let's have a public debate and dialogue. We offered that to several people years ago, and they declined it. Let's have a neutral moderator. Let's agree on a subject. We'll stay with it. I will not engage in personal attacks against you, and we can lay issues out. We can go back and forth on it. It would be a delight. I often ask people to join me on the air, but then they get concerned, and they say, well, it's your show, and you can dominate it. And I understand that concern, and I understand. I'm happy to be on other shows, and I would have been happy to stay on with David Pakman or perhaps join him another time. He could join me on this show if we're going to have a serious discussion, and I'm not going to be in a time press like I was last week. But in any case, I love getting the truth out to the light. I love bringing things out publicly. I love representing what is accurate, what is true, what is wholesome, what is right, and then letting people challenge it. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. How about this comment on an article I wrote last week? Someone called Changa. A marriage is a loving relationship between two spouses, just as it was when Christ himself walked the earth. Oh, we need to go back and tell, maybe we could get like some time tunnel thing and go back 2,000 years and inform everyone that they had it wrong, that when they thought that marriage was the union of a man and woman, the only thing that they knew in the ancient biblical world, that no, actually, it was just two spouses, just as when Jesus walked the earth. This is what Changa says. Do you really think that gay marriage is a recent phenomenon and your disparagement of the love between any two people speaks only about the lack of love in your own heart? Christ is love come to earth from us, and until you understand love, you cannot claim to speak for him. But I guess Changa can speak for him, because Changa understands love, but I don't, I guess. 866-34-TRUTH. The theme this week, it's time to take a stand. Brenda in Suffern, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Michael. I have a comment. I sort of caught some of what you were saying, but the thing is, my comment is on this, the spirit of the age that you were talking about.
Yes.
Now, I am a Christian, and I heard the comment you just made about this person, Changa. A lot of people tend to say that they are Christians and they don't understand what a Christian is. The thing is, they think, and they would call you, they would say that you're homophobic, and you're not. The thing is, you care for their soul. God loves them also, yes, but God does not love the sin that they're in. And I don't think that they're reading the Bible to understand the Word of God. And if they are reading the Bible, they're obviously not reading the one that is written by God. There are many Bibles out there, but they have to get the truth. The Word of God plainly tells us, if a man lies with a man and he does as he does with a woman, he shall be put to death. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says, among other people, which is the adulterers, liars, and effeminate, shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And effeminate, it means a man who has womanly qualities. Romans 1.
Actually, yeah, the word there, I mean, the word there is speaking about homosexual acts as opposed to just an outward appearance. Yeah, but Brenda, the fact of the matter is there are many, many people that claim to be followers of Jesus today who have majored on something which is other than the gospel. In fact, please, everyone listening, get a copy of my message, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. Some of the quotes... Becoming Christianish. I'm quoting from Professor Christian Smith. Christianity is either degenerating into a pathetic version of itself, or more significantly, Christianity is actively being colonized and displaced by quite a different religious faith. So much of what claims to be Christianity today is not Christianity. It's far from it. It doesn't draw lines in the sand for what is right or what is wrong anymore.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Will you be found standing tall, doing what is right in God's sight when pressure increases from wherever corner that pressure comes? Proverbs 24, if you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is small. I can't tell you how many times when I speak and minister, people thank me for my courage and for taking a stand, and God's called me to, but I think, well, isn't this normal? Isn't this what we're all doing? But I realize there's pressure, there's challenge, there's difficulty, and one of the principal reasons we are on the air is to be a voice for you. Someone read one of my recent articles on townhall.com, and they wrote in, what a great article. Thanks for saying so well, but the majority of people still believe. Keep pounding those keys for those of us who don't have a voice but do have a vote. Someone else wrote in after listening to the broadcast, Brother Mike, thank God for you being a voice in the wilderness on issues of faith. Friends, we are here to be a voice. We are here to speak the truth in love without compromise. We are here to be a voice for you. Let me encourage you again, call our team right now. They're waiting to get your call, 1-800-278-9978. Another reminder that your gifts are being multiplied. Just another critical moment for us in our radio expansion outreach history as we stand up for what is right and serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I want to send you for your gift of any size, so don't hesitate to call, whether you have a lot or little. Don't hesitate to call 1-800-278-9978. I want to send you the audio message, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance, that I preached at Nyack College in New York 2 months ago. 1-800-278-9978. Along with that, my mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. Both of these will stir you and ignite something in you. Before I go to the phones, in the midst of the civil rights movement, as pressure was increasing against Dr. King and those engaging in nonviolent resistance, pressure was increasing because people were getting violent with them. People were physically attacking them. People were getting beaten. People were having homes bombed. People were getting thrown out of jobs. And some of the leaders counseled Dr. King, we need to back down. We need to back down and find, you know, our nonviolent tactics are provoking violent reactions. So Dr. King, speaking in Selma, Alabama, at the age of 36, addresses us. Where is he speaking? Is he speaking in a church building, which is packed out with people and people standing outside? This was something birthed in the churches. Listen to what Dr. King says, some of the most amazing words I've ever heard in my life.
But if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. Deep down in our nonviolent creed is the conviction that there are some things so dear, some things so precious, some things so eternally true that they're worth dying for. And if a man happens to be 36 years old, as I happen to be, and some great truth stands before the door of his life, some great opportunity to stand up for that which is right and that which is just, and he refuses to stand up because he wants to live a little long, and he's afraid his home will get bombed, or he's afraid that he will lose his job, or he's afraid that he will get shot or beat down by state troopers. He may go on and live until he's 80, but he's just as dead as 36 as he would be at 80, and the cessation of breathing in his life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. He died. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. So we're going to stand up right here amid horses. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid the billy club. Stand up right here in Alabama amid police dogs, if they have them. We're going to stand up amid tear gas. We're going to stand up amid anything that they can muster up, letting the world know that we are determined to be free.
Yeah, what an extraordinary, extraordinary quote from Dr. King. And those words, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is true. That articulates to me what Jesus is saying in his oft-repeated saying throughout the Gospels, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake in the Gospels, you find it. Friends, I have been appalled year after year after year, on front after front after front, to watch Christian leaders capitulating, to watch believers capitulating, to watch people fall into what I can only call the spineless gospel of tolerance and acceptance. In the book Almost Christian, Princeton professor Kenda Creasy Dean speaks of the cult of nice. She said, American young people are devotees of non-judgmental openness, self-determination, and the authority of personal experience. Religion stays in the background of their lives where God watches over them without making demands of them. God, above all, is nice. She speaks of the widely held religious outlook among American teenagers that is primarily dedicated not to loving God, but to avoiding interpersonal friction. Boy, does that say it, does it not? By the way, all those quotes are on my message, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance, yours together with my mini book, Jesus Manifesto, for standing with us with a gift of any size, which I repeat, is being multiplied by a donor I've never met, never spoken with this person, but they are committed to helping us. So as you stand with us, we are enabled to take even more of a stand. 1-800-278-9978. Just think of every gift you send in as expanding our outreach, getting our voice magnified to speak to more and more and more people. That's what we're doing together. 1-800-278-9978 to get The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance on a CD and the Jesus Manifesto mini book. To the phones, Moses in Bloomfield, New Jersey, thanks so much for your patience. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. I'm calling just basically to expand on what you're saying. There's a beautiful thing that you're speaking about, spineless Christianity. That's the thing. We need to seek that fire, as the intro keeps, you know. The thing is, we have to stand up. It is the spirit of the age. You know, it's the things that the Bible spoke about that will happen at the end. We have to just be preoccupied with trying to save souls and just tell people about their spirit. That's the only thing left to do. We have to the gay agenda will push. So many agendas will push, but we have to just speak the word. And like Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, God commands us to speak.
Yeah.
We have to warn the wicked of the way. If not, the blood will be required on our hands. We cannot be cowardly. The cowards cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, so you know, Moses, the point you make about cowardly, that's a very ugly term in Scripture. And you are right. The Bible does say in Revelation 21 that those that are cast into punishment and judgment, among them on that list are the cowardly. We have an agenda. It's a Jesus agenda. And telling people they need Jesus to be saved, telling
Amen.
Muslims, telling other Jews, telling atheists, telling other people of other religions that they need a living relationship with God through Jesus, that's considered narrow-minded, bigoted, intolerant. Calling people to repent, whatever their sin is, whatever their lifestyle is, calling people to repent and turn to God. We're going to be hated and rejected. We have majored so much on just getting people to like us instead of concentrating on being witnesses. No wonder America's as messed up as it is. It's because of the cowardice and the compromise in the church. And when we stand
Amen.
Up, when we stand up, sir, and do what's right, God will back us and people will listen and change will come. And if we get hated and persecuted or thrown in prison or killed, as happens to followers of Jesus around the world, Jesus tells us to rejoice. We have better and lasting treasure in heaven. Thank you, sir, for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. Peter in Queens, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Mike, and thank you for being a voice for all of us. It's people like you and Jay Sekulow and the rest, and pastors such as John MacArthur that really stand for the truth. You know, I was talking to your screener, and we agreed that if there wasn't such a thing as redefining marriage,
yeah,
then there wouldn't be a definition of marriage. So of course there's a definition
of
marriage.
Exactly.
Adults can't marry minors. People can't marry animals. There are parameters that we live by in our society. And from my understanding, as far as Congress cannot make rules or laws regarding religion,
let me just jump in because we've got a break here. But of course, when gay activists want to redefine marriage, they've never argued that they were trying to redefine it in America and other countries. We've all known what the definition is. That's why I said to the gentleman interviewing me last week, if you want to do a serious interview, let's do it, but let's not get caught up in silly stuff like this. Thank you, Peter. Loud and clear.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me go right to the phones on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to jump in a question from Freddie in Brooklyn. Welcome to the Line of Fire, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just had a legal question that if it's overturned marriage between a man and a woman, what stops it at just the homosexual arena? Why does it open it up for polygamy and things like that? Is there something specific that stops it there, or can it just develop into anything goes?
Yeah, Freddie, of course it can. Here's the reason. Polygamy has been practiced by millions and millions of people around the world in many countries and for millennia. That's been around, okay? And it's actually less of a down the slippery slope than is redefining marriage to same-sex marriage, meaning that to say marriage is the union of a man and a woman or multiple women, of course, we completely reject polygamy. But if marriage was the union of a man and multiple women, that is less of a change of the definition of marriage to say it's just the union of two people and it's genderless. Canada's already had to fight that battle. Polygamists have argued that now polygamy should be accepted. The courts ruled against it, but it will be pushed. In Australia, there's a battle being fought over this right now that someone said, well, why, if marriage is being changed to just the union of two people, why only two? Once you're going to change it, Freddie, fundamentally, and say it's not the union of a man and a woman. Because remember, the only reason you need two is because it's a man and a woman. That's the reason that it's two. Otherwise, it could just as well be three or four or five or six. It's a man and woman because of the unique bonding that comes from a male and a female coming together. But, Freddie, in point of fact, look on TV. If you don't want to watch the shows, then read about them. Gay activist stuff on TV for years and years and years, the Will and Grace stuff and beyond for years and years and years. Now you've got Big Love and Sister Wives, these shows I've read about, that are pushing polygamy. And you've got now shows about polyamory. Check this out. This is from an Episcopal priest. An Episcopal priest writing from somewhere in the States here. This is how things are impacting his local parish. He says, given our wider church's pronouncement on the subject, namely that homosexual marriages can be blessed, and the fact that my church begins with an A in the phone book, I tend to receive a remarkably high request for blessings, particularly given that my stance in this is fairly well known to the community in which I serve. In other words, he's all for blessing homosexual, quote, marriages. One of the side effects, this Episcopal priest writes, of this very public discourse over the last several years, however, has been that we as a church have become the church that blesses all sexual behavior in the minds of those outside our church. In the past couple of years, I have been asked by polygamists and polyamorists to bless their relationships. I really did not know there was much of a distinction until I spent time in conversation with them, and one of them was for more than four people participating together in a relationship. And by two couples seeking to have their incestuous relationship blessed by our church. From my perspective, their arguments are identical to a number of positions put out or put forth by those who claim that the church ought to be blessing GLBT relationships, with the exception that the polygamists pointed out that several prominent figures in the Bible were themselves polygamists. I'm interested in how church leaders propose we are to respond. And he goes on. He says if we say, no, we're only going to change, it's homosexuals who marry, that's okay. We're changing the definition to two men or two women. But it's got to stay with two. This is what an Episcopal priest is writing from the States. If it's the latter, how does the church do so in a way that does not seem capricious, mean spirit, bigoted, polyphonies, incest haters, or what other labels will be given to us at that time? I hope that you continue to prod and push gently, of course, because these are not questions on the distant horizon. They are in our midst now. Freddie, they're here now. They're being asked in churches in America. Well, pastor or father, if you bless our union of two men or two women, why can't you bless my friend's union? It's him and his boyfriend and their girlfriend. Why can't you bless that? Or why can't you bless this other family that believes in polygamy, even if the state doesn't recognize it? Why can't you bless it? And a conservative Episcopal priest writes with wisdom, Proverbs 22:28, do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. Oh, do you hear that word for us today? Do you hear that word for those that want to redefine something as fundamental as marriage? You hear that word for those that want to reconstruct families and talk about polyamory and polygamy and on and on and on. And like attempts in Sweden to just eliminate gender and make it perfectly normal for a boy, say, to name his girl Jack and his son Lisa and so on. Do we realize what happens when we start tampering with the foundations? And then when we cave in to what is wrong because of pressure, when we cave in to what is wrong because it's going to cost us something, when we cave in to what is wrong because of public opinion, some of you flip out when someone doesn't like something you post on Facebook and you want to run and retreat. Come on, friends, let's do what's right. Listen again, clip number two, Joey. Listen again to Dr. King.
A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right.
Yes. Yes.
A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice.
Yes.
A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true.
Yes.
So we're going to stand up right here amid horses.
Yes.
We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid the billy club. Stand up right here in Alabama amid police dogs, if they have them. We're going to stand up amid tear gas.
Yes.
We're going to stand up amid anything that they can muster up,
yes,
letting the world know,
yes,
that we are determined to be free.
I had a local gay activist with whom I was on the radio here in Charlotte a few months ago. I had him tell me that it was appropriate for Dr. King and for Black Americans and others to use certain terminology about the struggle that they were in or the war that they were fighting for justice because they were an oppressed minority, but it is wrong for me to use such terms. Friends, we're in a spiritual battle, and we are going against the grain, and I want to tell you candidly, standing up for what's right, going against the grain, knocking down walls of resistance, being rejected and mocked for the truth, for the gospel, that's not hard for me. It's what God called me to do. What I need is your help financially. It's that simple. It does not go in my pocket. Anyone that wants to find out, wants to sow into our ministry and get behind what we're doing, ask whatever questions you want because you'll be blown away with where the money goes. You'll be thrilled beyond words when you see how we operate. I'm asking you to hold my hands up and to turn the volume up of this broadcast to get to more and more people by sowing a gift to us. Whatever you can afford will be multiplied, and I will send you as my thank you gift the audio CD, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance, in my mini book, The Jesus Manifesto. So our team's waiting to take your call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today is a day of trouble. Today is one of those days that Scripture speaks of as the day of evil. If we will do what God has called us to do, then we will stand, we will overcome, and the name of Jesus will be exalted. Friends, it is time to take a stand. That means you, that means me, standing up for what is right, regardless of cost or consequences. Are you with me?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. The theme this entire week will stir you, will encourage you, will challenge you, will bless you. It's time to take a stand. I want to be for you this week, as every day, every week, but in particular this week, a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, a voice that'll help cut to the quick of what's right and what's wrong. A voice that'll help you stand up for what's right, regardless of the junk coming against you. We are in an era of moral and spiritual confusion, the likes of which I have never seen in my lifetime, the likes of which are scary in the natural because so many in the church have lost their way, including leaders. Now is the critical time for us to stand up for what is right, and by God's grace, I have the privilege of being a voice for you here on the front lines. Here's the number to call to get in the program today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I posted an article on Town Hall, when did it go up? Friday afternoon, ran through Saturday on the homepage of Town Hall, called The Separation of Church and State, Misinformation and Hypocrisy. It's gotten a lot of good response, over 1,000 people recommending it to others on Facebook, which is a good number for articles I've posted there at this stage. And someone wrote this, excellent article here by Dr. Brown in Town Hall on Separation of Church and State. This is the main cudgel, big lie we are incessantly beat over the heads with in an attempt to drive us out of the public forum. Coincidentally, I just saw that women are now being extended the privilege of serving their country in additional combat arms MOSs. MOSs. Someone tell me what that means. This wonderful advancement, this is being sarcastic, in women's rights is not being brought at behest of the public, but solely by social engineers. Now, with the armed forces openly given over to homosexuality, we can expect this nefarious policy to only accelerate. I'm reading what this commenter says, writing into us after reading my Town Hall article. Breaking down the traditional roles of men and women is prerequisite to attaining the prize plum of nationwide acceptance of homosexual marriage. The California court in Perry has led the way in warning us of this. As a former Army infantry officer, I found this unfortunate trend to be incredibly sad as well, and as well as unsound tactically, strategically, and to be an abomination spiritually and policy-wise. Here's what he says at the end. Are there any men left in Congress and the Pentagon who will cast off political correctness and lift their voices to cry out, stop this insanity? Well, I'm sure there are some in Congress. I'm sure there are some in the Pentagon. I'm sure there are some in the pulpits. I'm sure there are some in other quarters. Unfortunately, that number is becoming increasingly few as people bow down more and more and more to the end agenda of political acceptance, political correctness, popularity. And I want to assure you, my friends, that by God's grace, I am not backing down. I am not shutting up. Oh, plenty would be very happy if I did. But I must speak. This fire in my bones, friends, is a burden in my heart. I must speak. I must tell the truth. I must sound the alarm. And I must encourage you to stand up as the people of God, men and women of principle and backbone. That's you. Let's do this for Jesus. Back with much more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Kev, I've got a question for you, then I want to take some calls, and then I want to encourage you, challenge you, strengthen you through this entire week. It's time to stand. Have we blessed you being on the air? Some of the stations you're listening on, you've been listening to me now regularly for over 4 years. Some you've been listening, discovered us a few weeks ago. Some you've been listening the last year or more regularly. Have we blessed you? Have we helped you? Have we strengthened you? Have we encouraged you in the Lord? Has the show ministered to you? If suddenly we were not on the air, would there be a void there? Well, here's a way that you can express your appreciation, but more importantly, help me to do what I'm doing and help our ministry team to do what we're doing. We are in another key moment in our radio expansion growth history as God continues to open doors for us on a national level. We are in another key season right now, someone standing with us to multiply your gifts. And I want to get resources into your hands. You say, oh, yeah, all you radio TV guys, you're the same. You're always selling something. Actually, whatever you can afford, this is what you get it for, all right? So trust me, we'll send out plenty of these at our cost and below, and then others will help us through their generosity. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance, it is a message I preached at Nyack College in New York City about 2 months ago, full of juicy, eye-opening quotes and challenge that will edify your spirit. Listen to it on your CD player, in your car, on your computer. The audio CD plus my mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. Your gift of any size to help us with this radio broadcast, and as someone is standing with us again to multiply your gifts, every $10 becomes $15, every $100 becomes $150. So you're really helping us reach many people around the nation and literally around the world. Together, we're making a difference. So our team is ready to take your call right now at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Call now. Your gift of any size, we will send you the Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance CD and the mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, 1-800-278-9978. In case you didn't hear the news over the weekend, the very liberal, historically left-leaning NAACP, National Association of Colored People, has now come out endorsing the redefinition of marriage. To the phones, our friend Chaplain Viviana from the Bronx, how are you doing today?
Oh, thank you, Michael, for taking my call, and I thank the Lord for you because you are uncompromising and ask for special blessings as you're out there on the front line. To me, this whole issue came to another level today. Today in a so-called Christian church, there was a meeting. President Obama accepted same-sex marriage. What are we to do now? You would think in a Christian church they would say, this is not according to God's word, let's do this, do that. Well, they had a hard-hitting lineup. Reverend James Forbes, the former pastor, senior pastor of Riverside, Reverend Derek Harkins, the leader of Faith-Based Initiative from D.C., they even imported a lesbian cleric to talk to the pastors in the Bronx, telling them this is something that we need to embrace. It was so shocking to some of the people there that a lot of them were being tolerant and accepting. And then finally, the Holy Spirit rose up, and many of them just said, look, this is blasphemy. This must not continue. But it was like my friend was speaking, and they actually took the mic from her. But before the end of the conversation, Michael, you have mentioned that you'd be interested in like a debate. Why not have like a forum that says with the theme, why President Obama's acceptance of same-sex marriage matters? you would be very good and excellent, and then have other people on the panel and really give the truth to people, because they are coming under the influence of deception.
Yeah, Chaplain Viviana, I would do that in a heartbeat. The key thing is to find someone to sponsor it and to get someone to take the other side. I almost never find people willing to take the other side and have public debates with me. It's rare that people are willing to do it. That's why I've commended my friend Rabbi Shmuley for being willing to debate me these many times through the years. By all means, I would do it, in a heartbeat. I don't need money to do it. I don't need someone to pay me some honorarium to do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. Key thing is, like I say, to find a place that will sponsor it, to find someone that's capable of taking the other side, because you got to be fair to the other side. In other words, they need to have
other side as well.
You need to have a good representative, because otherwise it's not fair to them. They'll just say, well, Brown won because the other guy wasn't good, or the other lady wasn't good. So there should be plenty of spokespeople that are available, that are willing to do it. Say it'll be an equal debate, it'll be a fair debate, and there'll be intellectual and honest and a fair academic exchange of the issues, practical. Lay it out like that, and we would absolutely use this radio broadcast and our friends WMCA in New York City to help get this announcement out throughout the greater New York area. Excuse me. And we would, by all means, push it. The only thing I'd request is that either they do a live video feed so people can watch on internet, or else that they make sure it's recorded, because you want people to actually be able to have this. Now, let me ask you a question. You say this took place at a church in the Bronx.
Yes, in the Bronx.
How many people were there?
Good representation. I think my friend said about 40 to 50 pastors.
All right.
And some well-known pastors that, were there saying, for example, we cannot be a one-issue Christian church, that, even though he said it's same-sex marriage, we have to be beyond that, and we have to support him for re-election.
And that's the bigger issue.
Right.
But of course, this is one of many critical issues. How about the abortion issue? And then how about, I won't even get into the other issues, but the whole idea that it's just an automatic that the black community votes for a Democrat or the black community would vote for Mr. Obama is very offensive to many African Americans, because they say, that's not how I vote. But the idea that he should be supported for XYZ reasons, that's a whole other debate. But out of those that were there, from what you could sense when your friend began to speak, how many of the pastors and leaders that were there seemed to agree with what she was saying?
According to my friend, she's maybe about half. And you wouldn't even think that half of the people were in agreement. They didn't say anything right away. They were just kind of like mulling it over. But finally, it came to the to the point where they had to say, this is blasphemy. Pastor Forbes actually started denigrating, according to my friend, denigrating the sexuality between a man and a woman, and then affirming the caressing between two women, that it was much even more intimate. And that's when a lot of them just decided, this is blasphemy, and I'm not listening to anything more. But
the fact is, it is a spirit of deception. It is. People are being put to sleep. And whenever I make statements like that, I get, mocked and, from the other side. Of course, it's a spiritual battle. And it comes because of compromise along the way. In other words, this didn't come out of the blue. This is not something that just happened one day and suddenly, just like, say, a married man that loves the Lord and loves his wife doesn't just commit adultery the next day. It's got to be a gradual process, breaking down relationship with God, breaking down relationship with his spouse, before he's going to open the door to the sin. So there has been a steady erosion, what we call the spineless gospel of tolerance and acceptance. And because of that erosion, we're in the situation we're in. But sister,
can I add one other thing? One of the things that also happened in the meeting is that they were giving misinformation. And I'm encouraging any pastors that are approached by this team to give them a spiritual butt whipping and tell them to get out of town. They said that they would not get sued if they decided not to marry people. We've had so many incidences all over the nation, especially in New Jersey, where they lost the tax-exempt status.
Yeah,
they
I've just got to jump in because we've got a break. Yeah, but let me just say this. There is the religious exemption in New York because four Republicans caved in on this and gave way. They were basically bought out, as I understand it, and said, okay, there's the religious exemption. But already, if you don't affirm the redefinition of marriage, you are legally codified as a bigot in New York. So, Chaplain, see what you can set up. Talk to someone and see if you get someone from the other side. And I will come to New York on my dime and debate this issue publicly with joy. Thank you, sister, for standing strong. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, when Dr. Billy Graham took out his one-page ad in 14 different newspapers in North Carolina standing for marriage and said, 93 years old, I never thought that I'd be having to fight for the fight for marriage is what it stands for. People are trying to redefine it. I read last hour a quote from an Episcopal priest, an Episcopalian priest here in America, who said, you know, with our church's stance known for what it is, that we now bless homosexual unions, marriages, and I as a pastor do that, as an Episcopal priest I do that. Now we're getting asked to bless incestuous unions, and we're getting asked to bless polyamorous and polygamous unions, and I don't want to seem intolerant. What should I do? Friends, this is insanity. This is why we stand by God's grace as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. It's why I want to get into all of your hands these two resources, the mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution, The Jesus Kind of Revolution, Overcoming Hatred with Love, Overcoming Violence with the Spirit, Overcoming Evil with Good, Overcoming the Powers of Darkness with the Power of Jesus' Name, A Radical Call for Jesus Revolution, and my audio CD, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. Listen to it in your car as you drive, on your CD player. Listen to it in your computer at home. Yours for your gift of any size to help us with this radio ministry, with our outreach, to hold our hands up. And I remind you again, your gifts are being multiplied by a donor I've not yet even met or spoken with face-to-face or even by phone. Someone just standing with us generously. In fact, for up to $50,000 that comes in, he's supplementing it with $25,000, which enables us, you cannot imagine, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that we can reach for hour after hour after hour with these funds. And that's where it is going entirely. So call today to get these resources, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size will be multiplied, and we want to get these resources to you because you will be ministered to richly. All right, back to the phones. John in Wilmington, Delaware. Thanks for holding, sir. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thank you.
So if Apostle Paul was living in our context today and he was reaching out and got to know, let's say, like a homosexual couple, and he reached out and he explained them the gospel, and he explained the totality of Scripture and God's love, and they became, you know, close, and they had great dialogue, and they weren't willing to give up their practices, but, you know, keep listening to him, but they invited him to, like, their, let's say, their civil union reception. What would Paul have done in that context?
Ah, well, let me ask you a question, and then we'll try to think of what Paul would have done, all right? And obviously, neither of us are Paul, but we read his writings and we seek to understand his heart and mind. Let's say it was like this couple in Germany, a brother and sister from the same mother, but they never met until later in life. They were separated as children. You know, they're raised in different homes. They met later in life and were living in the same home, fell in love, and he's actually gone to prison because of the relationship, because it's incestuous. There's been a battle in the courts there, European courts, over whether incest should be completely removed as a ban and whether this couple should be able to marry. Let's say they could. Let's say it works out that they could. And you're talking about a brother marrying a sister. Same situation. Paul's sharing the gospel with them, and now a brother and sister are going to get married or have a civil union ceremony, and they invite him to come. What do you think he would do?
I would probably think he wouldn't go. I think he would probably have a strong dialogue with them and tell them, you know, his reasoning why, you know, because he believes in the totality of all Scripture, so he
right.
couldn't negate the one.
Right. So would that then answer your question that you were asking me?
Yeah, I would say. I look at Scripture, and I, you know, because you can't pick and choose, but when you come to love people, that's where it becomes a challenge. So, like, you know, how do you reach out? But you also, like you said, you can't pick and choose. That's why I was looking at the level of, you know, the love aspect of the gospel.
Yeah.
Because
well, there are a few things, John. Yeah, a few things in response. And I appreciate you being sensitive on this. For some, it's such a crazy question to even ask, but I think it should be asked because we have relationships with people. What if it's a family member? You know, I get calls and emails like this. You know, my uncle is getting married to his lover now because it's legal in their state. They want me to go. What should I do? What if it's your own kid? So these are fair questions to ask. When Nancy and I got married, we're both Jews. We invited a local rabbi that I had become friendly with when I got saved, and then he met Nancy, so he was friends with both of us. And I invited him to the wedding. And he wrote back declining because it wasn't going to be a traditional Jewish wedding. So because in his mind, we were two Jews and we were not having a traditional Jewish wedding. As a rabbi, he couldn't come. That didn't offend me in the least. I fully understood where he was coming from. I was disappointed because I wanted him to be there, but didn't offend me in the least. I understood it. And the fact is, you can have the relationship that you have with people, whoever they are. It could be... it could be a couple living together out of wedlock, then you're going to be a friend, you're going to share the gospel with them, but you're not going to affirm that relationship. And by going to a civil union ceremony, if there was such a thing as a specific ceremony that they were having, or a same-sex so-called marriage ceremony, or a blessing ceremony in a church that practiced this, by going there, you would be affirming that as opposed to simply loving the individuals. And if they cannot understand that your love comes with conviction, that your love comes with backbone, that your love comes with clear parameters, that it's not just sloppy emotional love, but love that's based on truth, you can tell them, hey, I would lay down my life to help you. You know I'm there for you in the pinch. You know I care about you as an individual, but to say that two men are going to join together or two women are going to join together and that it's somehow going to be an official union or something blessed by God, no, that violates fundamental convictions that I have. So in good conscience, I can't be there. However, once you guys, you know, go past that, I'm happy to come over. Let's have a meal together. And you just keep reaching out to them. But, you know, John, real love is based on truth, isn't it? Real love tells the truth. Open rebuke is better than secret love because one tells the truth, the other doesn't. But thank you, sir, for the call. All right. Our team is ready to take your call right now. 1-800-278-9978. Trust me, these resources will stir you. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance, audio CD for your CD player, listen to in your car, on your computer, on your iPod, whatever. Listen, be stirred. I brought this message 2 months ago at Nyack College. In my mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, your gift of any size to help us with the Line of Fire radio broadcast, being a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, will send us out to you. Be as generous as you can, but everyone, take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Thanks for standing with us. Together, we are making a difference.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friend, this is a special week to be listening to The Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, welcome to the program. The theme this week, it's time to take a stand. It's time to take a stand. I want to impart courage and strength and boldness and conviction to you through this week. Something literally I try to do every week, really every show. In one way or another, it's part of what God has called me to do. But this week in particular, I believe, will be especially important. Each day, there'll be quotes, there'll be audio clips that will inspire you, that will challenge you, that will encourage you. And we have two important resources that we'll be sending out as well. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. It is an audio CD, a message I preached at Nyack College 2 months ago in New York City. I'll tell you more about that. And the mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. Let me start here. Last week, actually on Friday, I posted on townhall.com, I think it was my fourth or fifth article in a week, just burdened to be writing about so many things. I posted an article, Separation of Church and State, Misinformation and Hypocrisy. And I pointed out that not only do the words separation of church and state not occur in the Constitution, but the concept behind them is found in the First Amendment, which, of course, is thoroughly misunderstood or misinterpreted by popular America today, and that it was not until 1947, and then in a misused way, that the Supreme Court invoked the principle of separation of church and state in the legal ruling. So the words go back, we know, to Thomas Jefferson, his reply to the Danbury Baptist Association of Connecticut in 1802. But Yale law professor Stephen Carter pointed out, as I point out in this article, that the separation of church and state, properly understood, comes from the work not of Thomas Jefferson, as is widely perceived, but from the insights of Roger Williams. It was Williams who, quote, developed the metaphor of the garden in the wilderness. The garden was the place where the people of faith would gather to struggle to understand God's word. The wilderness was the rest of the world where the light had not yet been received. Between the garden and the wilderness stood a wall. The wall existed for one purpose only. It was not there to protect the wilderness from the garden. It was there to protect the garden from the wilderness. And listen to what Professor Stephen Carter says. The wall of separation between church and state is not there to protect the state from the church. Rather, it is there to protect the church from the state. It stands as a divide to preserve religious freedom. And one needs to protect the church from the state because the latter will utilize its enormous powers to do what the state has always done, either subvert the religion or destroy it. Carter says, if we continue our slide toward a state that breaches the wall of separation whenever it is convenient, then I worry about the great risk to religious freedom. In the end, such a breach could destroy our ability to form the communities of resistance that are crucial if we are going to have a chance to transform the nation. Professor Carter points back to the civil rights movement and the history in black churches of being communities of resistance and says, friends, that if we do not rightly understand the separation of church and state, then the state will basically silence the church. And we will not have communities of resistance that are crucial if we are going to have a chance to transform the nation. Friends, this broadcast, The Line of Fire, serves as a voice of resistance to political correctness, as a voice of resistance to compromise in the church, as a voice of resistance to every activist agenda that raises itself up against God. This week, I want to encourage you, it is time. It is time to take a stand. We'll be back with much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, when you stand up for what's right, you're going to get attacked. You're going to get mocked. You're going to get vilified. And certain parts of the world, you're going to be physically attacked, not just verbally attacked. Certain parts of the world, you'll be thrown in prison. Certain parts of the world, you'll be killed for the gospel. Hey, this is what we signed up for, following Jesus, whether by life or by death. And I am here on the radio by God's grace as a voice of resistance to the compromise of the church and the corruption of the culture. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let me try to illustrate this for you. As we raised our kids, Nancy and I had the same standards for them, but she was more immovable than I was. She was more firm in terms of not giving in to our daughters. You know, they're girls, they could cry, I'd feel bad for them. But she was just like a rock. She had this ability to recognize right and wrong and wasn't swayed emotionally like I could be sometimes. And there was a colleague I had, a leader, who was such a principled man that when we were dealing with real difficult situations, having to put a student out for a certain reason from our ministry school, and we were kind of wavering what was right, what was wrong, he just spoke with principle, and boy, it cut through. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the very division of soul and spirit and joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That spiritual word of truth just comes and separates light from darkness and cuts through the confusion. That's part of what God's called me to do with this radio broadcast. It's part of what God's called me to do as I write, as I travel, as I speak, as we raise up laborers in Fire School of Ministry and send people around the world. The NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Sorry, of course I know that. Yeah, sometimes you don't just speak out what you know, you think, and then your brain freezes there. They have now officially come out over the weekend saying that they support the redefinition of marriage. I'm hoping to finish an article tonight called Is Gay the New Black, or probably Why Gay is Not the New Black, that will be eye-opening. We're here on the radio to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And I know many times as we speak, something happens. As we speak, the light goes on. You go, yeah, that's right, that's right. Or one pastor told me whenever I'd come and preach at his church, it was like a slap in his face, like, oh, that's right, that's the gospel. Just back to the basics, back to the gospel. When I stand up for what's right, we get a little flack. One gay activist in one article called me a slick dude, a sick and cynical person, someone with a messiah complex who is a diabolical individual who aims to manipulate impressionable followers to launch some sort of holy war, noting, however, that I'm too much of a coward to start the war myself. He writes, I do strongly believe to my core that Brown's ultimate goal is to create the conditions for a nasty physical clash. This is what this guy actually believes. Quote, speaking of me, the madman fully understands that he is only to create a hostile climate to inflame the most unstable of his thugs, and they will eventually provoke the type of confrontation that this pathological monster deeply desires. Just a few days ago, another gay activist posted these words. For those of you not familiar with Michael Brown, he's one of the most vile homophobes in America. He spreads his toxic bigotry on his daily radio show, Line of Fire, and through his catalog of more than 20 books, including his latest, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which Brown self-published in 2001 because no publishing house thought it was fit to print. They love to put out that lie as well. Of course, that's not why publishers wouldn't print it. They wouldn't print it because it was too hot to handle, as they told me. Oh, and by the way, so I spread my toxic bigotry in my catalog of more than 20 books, including A Queer Thing Happened to America. Some of my books, like On Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, that's spreading more of the toxic bigotry and being a vile homophobe there. That's interesting. One out of 21 books focusing on homosexual issues, but I guess I'm spreading toxic bigotry through all of them because that's just who I am. If you're a toxic bigot, it just comes out, right? Remember, a few months back, Someone wrote in, free speech espousing hate, even disguised as pseudo-religious or real religious speech, is still hate speech. Hate speech in any and in all circumstances is not protected by U.S. law. If you use religion to disguise your hatred of other groups, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Folks, people would love for me to go away. People would love for me to shut my mouth. By God's grace, I'm going to speak more loudly, more clearly, more articulately, more forcefully, more biblically than ever, and write just the same, and spread the word of truth and be a voice of resistance. I need your help, though, to do this. I don't need your help to be courageous. God's made me this way and called me to do it. I love the encouragement. I appreciate it. I don't need to be cheered on because God's called me to do this, and I'm going to stand up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. We need your help financially to do what we're doing on the radio and around the world. The funds that come in go right back out into our outreach. You would love the way we operate. You would love the way our funds are budgeted. You'd be thrilled to see how much goes out to touch the world. And we want to send you two wonderful resources for your gift of any size. So some of you have very little. That's great. Don't be ashamed. You call in because I want to send these to you. Others have more and they make up for it. So I really want all of you to get this. If you don't have much money, don't worry about it. I want to get these to you. Your gift of any size. And those who have a lot, you share generously and make up for others. And that's how the body works. And all of your gifts are being multiplied. A donor standing with us, so every $100 becomes $150, every $1,000 becomes $1,500, every $10 becomes $15, and it's going right back out into radio. So call right now to get the Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance on one CD to listen to in your car, your computer, your MP3 player, and my mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, A Call for Revolution, 1-800-278-9978 to stand with us. Our team is ready to take your call right now. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, make sure you get it. 1-800-278-9978, or just send your gift to us and mark special offer. Send your gift to us at P.O. Box 5546. So Line of Fire, P.O. Box 5546. Concord, North Carolina, 28027. To the phones, Anita in Honolulu. We lost Anita. Mike in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
You know, I've got really, I'm very, very frustrated because after the statement that Mr. Obama made regarding same-sex marriage and tying it to Christianity and the Bible, I thought for sure that churches would respond head-on to, you know, and oppose what he said. But much to my frustration and really anger, you know, I didn't hear a word from the church that I attended, which is a pretty big-sized church. And I did approach the pastor afterwards to ask him why he chose not to say anything regarding this Obama statement, and he simply said a bunch of gobbledygook and that he would address it in July. And the size of the church is roughly, 3,000 people in attendance in three or four different services on the weekend. It's a Baptist church.
All right, so Mike, what was the nature of the gobbledygook, if you can kind of recount it for me? And thank you for being respectful of what I request and not mentioning the pastor's name or the specific church. So I appreciate that. That way we can talk completely freely about this.
Yeah.
But what did he basically say? What did you hear him say?
Well, you know, if I can remember correctly, it was Mother's Day. And I said, was it because it was Mother's Day? And he said, no, that's not it. He said his comments, speaking about Mr. Obama, his comments infuriated me, and I tweeted about it. And I said, well, why didn't you make a statement about it in front of the congregation? Why didn't you take a stand? And he just said, you know, that he was going to respond to it in July and that he didn't want to be swayed with a knee-jerk reaction by any political comments or anything like that. And, you know, that's what I could remember about what he said. And then I also checked two or three other websites of local churches, sizable churches in my area, just to see if any pastor mentioned anything about it, and nothing was said. You know, not one word, and I mean not one single word about it, which I am completely shocked and baffled as to why a pastor of a church would not address this head on.
Yeah, well, there are a bunch of factors here, Mike, and unfortunately, this is exceedingly common. Now, if a church has been standing up for marriage, standing up for family, standing against gay activism, reaching out to the gay and lesbian community with the gospel, and they've been doing this over a period of years, and then the president makes an announcement, that may not be something that gets their attention because they've been dealing with it for years. The fact is, most are not dealing with it at all. And when something of this proportion happens, very few speak up, speak out. Stay right there, Mike. I want to give you my perspective why when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Mike asked the question in the last segment, why is it that pastors around America were not speaking up, speaking out, when the President of the United States, basing himself allegedly on Scripture or Christian principles, says he's for the redefining of marriage, the first time a sitting president has done that, a momentous tragic day in American history. You would think this would be something that pastors and leaders would speak about. Sadly, Mike, many have retreated from this long time ago. Many have felt it's too costly, too controversial. They'll be branded bigoted, hateful, intolerant. They think it's going to turn people off in the congregation. They say, well, we're not supposed to get political and whatever other line. But it's part of a compromised gospel in many ways. I do not believe that every message or most messages from the pulpit should be reflecting the political issues going on in the country. But when you have something of this magnitude, of course it has to be addressed. I would dare say it was addressed more in the black Christian community both ways than in the white Christian community. But it's symptomatic of the same thing. And look, this pastor may be a wise man, Mike, and he may come out with some remarkably deep and clear statements that'll blow you away in July. Let's hope for that, okay? If he says he's going to do that and he's got plans to do it, okay, that's between him and God right now. Let's see what happens. And you pray for him, God. Help him to be what you've called him to be and stand for what's right. But what Martin Luther King faced in the civil rights movement is exactly what pastors and leaders are facing now, and they get intimidated and they back away because they don't like conflict, they don't like pressure. So I played this clip in the first hour, but it's been one of the most powerful formative clips I've ever heard in terms of speaking into my life and impacting me. Martin Luther King, 36 years old, speaking in a church in Selma, Alabama. The pressure is mounting because the nonviolent civil rights movement led by Dr. King and others is being greeted with violence. And some are saying it's too costly. We need to step back from confrontation. Our nonviolent confrontation is producing a violent response. This is what Dr. King had to say.
A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. Yes. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. Yes. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. Yes. So we're going to stand up right here amid horses. Yes. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid the billy club, stand up right here in Alabama amid police dogs if they have them. We're going to stand up amid tear gas. Yes. We're going to stand up amid anything that they can muster up, yes, letting the world know, yes, that we are determined to be free.
Yeah, you see, in fact, there's a longer clip. I'll play that, God willing, later in the week for you. Let me put it like this. Use an illustration I've used before. If I can't make it up a flight of steps without huffing and puffing because I'm so out of breath and so out of shape, I'm not ready to run the marathon. And when pastors and leaders many times come under pressure, well, if I speak the truth here, it's going to offend a tithing member. It's going to be controversial. I could go through a split. I could lose. And they're shepherds and they're trying to care for the flock. And hey, hang on. They just made a new commitment to build an orphanage in Haiti. And hang on, they just brought on a new children's pastor. and someone to visit the sick in the hospital. And if they lose funds and they lose people, then they can't build that orphanage. And then they can't care for the, well, they can't hire that children's pastor or keep paying them to care for the kids and so on. And you start balancing all these things and you lose your perspective. And instead of saying, hey, I have to do what's right. I have to give account to God one day. I have to stand before him. I must be, as a shepherd, also someone who sounds the alarm and speaks the truth at any cost or consequence. We have lost so much of our moral backbone and courage. And this particular issue having to do with gay activism, when you stand against it, you will get attacked and vilified and demonic attack, spiritual attack like you've never known. Many people simply go in the closet, shut the doors, and don't even address it. But let's pray, Mike, for your pastor to be a prophetic voice in the city. Friends, I don't want to emphasize this too much. I don't think I can emphasize it too much. This is why I'm on the air. Yes, absolutely, we want to deepen your knowledge of the Word. I was just reading a gracious email someone sent in, say, for 40 years, but since listening to the radio broadcast, so much hungrier for the Word, so desirous of the Word, growing in his knowledge of the Word. We're here to help deepen you in your walk with God, deeper intimacy, deeper love for God, help you understand Jewish roots and what's happening in Israel and the Middle East. Those are all reasons we're on the phone, but on the air. But on a most fundamental level, friends, we are here as a voice. We're here as a voice of resistance that says no to compromise and no to corruption and no to bowing down to the system. And as we do it, it strengthens you to stand for what's right. Not in an arrogant, obnoxious way. We search our hearts. We search our souls. We humble ourselves before God. But when we're convicted of truth, we have to stand for what is right, regardless of cost or consequence. It's the gospel. I was talking to a brother that was driving me to the airport this morning from Jacksonville, Florida, where I flew in, and he was saying that he had visited some churches in communist China, and basically all the people that were there, all the leaders he met with, every one of them had been in jail for a number of years, and some repeatedly in jail, and some sentences of 5 to 10 years. It's the gospel, friends. I want to encourage you to stand with us as we stand up for what is right, as we are a voice for you, that we can speak things that you want spoken and write things that you want written and do it in a way that honors the Lord and then encourage you to do the same in whatever sphere of influence you have. I'm asking you to stand with us. Our thank you gift for your gift of any size. So again, those that have little, don't worry about it. Others give more, it makes up for it. I want you to all get these resources. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance on one CD. I preach this message in NIAC College in New York City, in Manhattan, about 2 months ago. It's on one CD, an audio CD, The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance, and my mini book, The Jesus Manifesto, A Call for Revolution. Not the kind of revolution the world brings, not hatred, not violence, not taking over and dominating in some carnal way, but spreading the love and truth of God at any cost, any consequences, standing up for what's right, God changing us, we go and change our world. That's the Jesus Revolution. Stand with us, help us, hold our hands up. And those that can be generous, be as generous as you can, because this investment is going to pay dividends for eternity. You'll get to see in the ages to come the fruit of what you have invested in the gospel, and we'll rejoice together on that day. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can write to us directly, our P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. And just mark on your gift, special offer. We'll send you The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance and the Jesus Manifesto mini book, 1-800-278-9978. Our team is ready to take your call. And tell you what, you're sending a wave of encouragement to me as you stand with us and to our entire team. My bottom line today, it says in Proverbs 24, if you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is small. We're in a day of trouble. Are you standing? Are you standing firm? Are you losing ground? Are you holding ground? Are you taking ground?